This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Monday the 22nd of April. In your Squiz today, Musk's online war with Oz, the US breaks a stalemate, a workout falling out, and Swift racks up more records. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, it's been a while since we last spoke about Elon Musk, but he's back in the headlines. The billionaire's social media company X, which was formerly Twitter, is threatening to take Australia's e-safety commissioner Julie Inman-Grant to court. That's over an order calling for the removal of graphic videos of the terrorist attack at the Assyrian Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley in Sydney's southwest last Monday night.
Yeah, so X claims that the e-safety's order was not within the scope of Australian law and that global takedown orders go against the very principles of a free and open internet and threaten free speech everywhere. That's the words that they used. Now, just to go back a bit, the live streamed church service captured the 16-year-old boy allegedly stabbing Bishop Mar Mari Emmanuel, and there was footage of the boy being held by the congregation as a riot erupted outside the church. Now, those videos are still circulating on X, despite the social media giant's claims that it had complied with the order to remove them.
Yeah, and what X says is that the regulator told it to withhold the posts or face a daily fine of $785,000. So Musk has accused Inman-Grant of demanding global content bans. That's his words.
Yeah, and it's not just about that particular attack. X also came under fire after several accounts falsely linked the Westfield attack to Islamist terrorism and identified the wrong man as the attacker. Reports say that that actually led to Channel 7 falsely naming student Benjamin Cohen, who is now suing the network for defamation. So sharing this kind of content is having serious consequences for a lot of people. And the issue has really united politicians across the political divide.
Yeah, so coalition leader Peter Dutton has spoken up on this. He says there's no question that greater action is needed against social media companies who see themselves as above the law. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has also criticised X and Musk for disregarding lies and disinformation being spread on their watch, which he said fueled the riot at Wakeley. We foreshadowed this on Friday, but over the weekend, the US House of Representatives voted in favour of a $60 billion US dollar Ukraine aid bill, which is about $94 billion Australian dollars. The package still has to go to the Senate and US President Joe Biden for approval later this week, but it's widely expected to pass those hurdles, Siobhan.
Yes, but as we've spoken about before, Alice, it hasn't been easy to get to this point. That's because there's been a months-long debate between Republicans in the House of Reps who want to focus on domestic policies and Democrats who are mostly in favour of the Ukrainian aid. But last week, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson went against his Conservative and Trump-aligned colleagues' wishes, and he really pushed for it. Now, that's put him out of favour with a lot of his colleagues, so he could potentially lose his job over it.
Yeah, but Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is thankful, though. He says the money will keep history on the right track. And it's worth mentioning, Siobhan, several other packages also got the green light, including for Israel and Taiwan. There was also a bill on national security that could see the US one step closer to banning social media platform TikTok.
Yes, and just to mention quickly, if you want to learn more about the ins and outs of that potential TikTok ban in the US, we've got the perfect Squiz shortcut for you, and you can find a link to that in the episode notes.
The international swimming world has been rocked by bombshell reports over the weekend about 23 Chinese swimmers, which is about two-thirds of the country's Olympic team, who tested positive to a banned substance right before they went on to win 6 medals at the Tokyo Olympics.
Yes, it's quite the scandal, Alice, not least because 3 of those medals were gold medals. Mm-hmm. Now, the World Anti-Doping Agency, known as WADA, confirmed that it cleared the swimmers to compete after accepting their explanation about being exposed to the drug accidentally after it was detected in a hotel that they'd stayed in. That has understandably raised questions, but WADA's medical director, Olivier Rabin, says the organisation stands by its decision and it's been backed up by World Aquatics.
Yeah, but Swimming Australia is not satisfied with that. It says it's making inquiries for fairness and integrity, and it also wants to ensure a level playing field ahead of the Paris Olympics. A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. The steel made from iron ore plays an important role in providing the production of our energy infrastructure, from wind turbines to power poles. So cutting carbon emissions in iron ore production is key. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power its port facilities at Port Hedland. It's happening now at BHP. Siobhan, football legend David Beckham is suing his showbiz pal Mark Wahlberg over a deal which turned sour. And we're talking about it because the case involves the Aussie gym franchise F45.
Yeah, so Becks and his company, DB Ventures Limited, claim that he was duped into becoming a global ambassador for the Aussie-made gym franchise. He says he's $16.4 million out of pocket after stocks he was promised were withheld until after the share price plummeted. Now, if you don't know this, Wahlberg owns a big stake in F45, which is how he's come to be involved. But Beckham is also suing the actor's investment firm and F45 founders Adam Gilchrist and Rob Deutsch. For their part, they say the claims are baseless and they want the judge to dismiss the case that's alleging fraudulent conduct.
And for F45 and Wahlberg, this isn't the only case that they're facing. Golfer Greg Norman is also suing them over claims that he wasn't properly paid for his endorsement. Last year, reports stated that F45 was hanging by a thread after huge financial losses of $582 million in 2 years. Siobhan, I know you're a bit Taylor Swifted out at the moment, but she has had a huge weekend with her latest surprise double album, The Tortured Poets Department. It's only been out for a few days now, but she's already broken multiple records, as she's very good at doing, including becoming Spotify's most streamed album in a single day with 300 million streams.
Yes, it might not be my bag, Alice, but clearly it is working for a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And that's why she was also the most streamed artist in a single day on Spotify, along with similar records on other streaming platforms. And the album's lead single, Fortnite, broke the record for the most streamed song in a single day, which must have cheesed off the Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey, because she previously held the record for her festive hit, All I Want for Christmas.
And for those who are mega Swifties, the album also brought a lot of Easter eggs that Swift is very famous for. So I'll pop a link in the episode notes to a good breakdown of those. And there's also been some breakdowns of the celebrities that she outright name dropped in the album. People like Stevie Nicks, Welsh poet Dylan Thomas and Patti Smith, the latter of which said she was moved to be mentioned. Squiz the day, Siobhan. What are you drawing our attention to today?
So Adelaide mum of two, Catherine Bennell-Pegg, who's also the director of space technology at the Australian Space Agency, is going to graduate from the European Space Agency in Germany today. And that's going to make her the first certified Australian astronaut under the Aussie flag. Now, there have been Aussie astronauts before, but they've always represented other countries like the US. So for her to be actually wearing the Aussie flag on her suit is a really big moment. And it makes her eligible for missions to the International Space Station and beyond. So it's very cool for her personally and all Aussies, I reckon.
Yeah, that's a good news story to end on. And that's it for us today. Have a great start to the week. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress yeah. that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.